This morning, I get to share a message that I really didn't even start thinking about until Friday. Because on Wednesday morning, Pastor Brooks informed Pastor Matt and myself that it looked like it was a matter of days until his brother had passed away. And that we kind of set up a timeline that if his brother made it to Friday at midnight, that Pastor Brooks would be here today preaching, and because the funeral would probably not be until Tuesday. And sure enough, that I got the phone call on Friday that, okay, you're on, Pastor Scott. It's time for you to put together the message. We're going to be going down so they could have the funeral tomorrow. And typically, when I get a chance to preach in here, I have maybe a month or two to kind of prepare and dream up what I want to share with you and see, God, what would you place on my heart? And when I got that first initial news on Wednesday that you're going to be preaching, I said, okay, I'll be ready. And then I walked back to my office and I said, I have no idea what I'm going to be sharing. And the Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. And I'm like, okay, God, I need something. Because I have a lot of stuff in my mind that I can share and I can talk about. But just because I can talk about it doesn't mean you need to hear about it. And so I sat down and I said, okay, God, I don't feel anything specific on my heart right now that this is what I need to share. So I'm going to do what probably a lot of you have tried doing before, and I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm just going to start reading, and God, you need to speak to me, because I don't know what you want me to share. And amazingly enough, I opened right up to Hebrews 11, so if you want, when I'm finishing talking, I'll give you a little bit of stall time so you can open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. But I opened up to that passage, just it's where it opened, and as I started reading, I said, this is what I need to speak on Sunday morning. And if you're familiar with Hebrews 11 at all, it is a chapter that is full of faith. And I tried thinking, like, should I only read a couple passages? What should I do? And I just felt strongly that I needed to read all of chapter 11 to you this morning. So hang on. It's going to be a little bit of reading, but I think it's going to be worth it. Hopefully I stalled enough for you to find Hebrews. If not, it'll be up on the screens. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we do not see. That is what the people of long ago were praised for. We have faith. So we understand that everything was made when God commanded it. That's why we believe that what we see was not made out of what we could or what could be seen. Abel had faith. So he offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Because of his faith, Abel was praised as a godly man. God said good things about his offerings. Because of his faith, Abel still speaks. He speaks even though he is dead. Enoch had faith. So he was taken from this life. He didn't die. He just couldn't be found. God had taken him away. Before God took him, Enoch was praised as one who pleased God. Without faith, it isn't possible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that he exists, and they must believe that he rewards those who look to him. Noah had faith, so he built an ark to save his family. He built it because of his great respect for God. God had warned him about things that could not yet be seen. Because of his faith, he showed the world that it was guilty. Because of his faith, he was considered right with God. Abraham had faith, so he obeyed God. God called him to go to a place he would later receive as his own, so he went. He did it even though he didn't know where he was going. Because of his faith, he made his home in the land that God had promised him. He was like an outsider in a strange country. He lived there in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob. They received the same promise he did. Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations. He was waiting for the city that God had planned and built. Abraham had faith. So God made it possible for him to become a father. He became a father even though he was too old. Sarah also was too old to have children, but Abraham believed that the one who made the promise was faithful. Abraham was past the time where he could have children, but many children came from that one man. They were as many as the stars in the sky. They were as many as the sand on the seashore. No one could count them. All those people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things God had promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a long way off. They openly said that they were outsiders and strangers on earth. People who say things like that show that they are looking for a country of their own. But what if they had been thinking that the country they had left? Then they could have returned to it. Instead, they longed for a better country. They wanted one in heaven. So God is pleased when they call him their God. In fact, he has prepared a city for them. Abraham had faith, so he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. That happened when God put him to the test. Abraham had received the promises, but he was about to offer his one and only son. God had said to him, "Your family line will continue through Isaac." Even so, Abraham was going to offer him up. Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. In a way, he did receive Isaac back from death. Isaac had faith, so he blessed Jacob and Esau. He told them what was ahead for them. Jacob had faith, so he blessed each of Joseph's sons. He blessed them while he was dying. Because of his faith, he received God as he leaned on the top of his wooden staff. Joseph had faith, so he spoke to the people of Israel about their leaving Egypt. He gave direction about his bones. He did that towards the end of his life. Moses' parents had faith, so they hid him for 3 months after he was born. They saw he was a special child. They were not afraid of the king's command. Moses had faith, so he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That happened after he had grown up. He chose to be treated badly together with the people of God. He chose that instead of enjoying sin's pleasure for a short time, he suffered shame because of Christ. He thought it had great value. He considered it better than the riches of Egypt. He was looking ahead to God's reward. Because of his faith, he left Egypt. It wasn't because he was afraid of the king's anger. He didn't let anything stop him. He saw the one who can't be seen. Because of his faith, he was the first to keep the Passover feast. He commanded the people of Israel to sprinkle blood on their doorways. He did it so that the destroying angel would not touch their oldest sons. The people had faith, so they passed through the Red Sea. They went through it as if it was dry land. The Egyptians tried to do it also, but they drowned. The people had faith, so the walls of Jericho fell down. It happened after they had marched around the city for 7 days. Rahab the prostitute had faith, so she welcomed the spies. That's why she wasn't killed with those who didn't obey God. What more can I say? I don't have time to tell about all the others. I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. I don't have time to tell about David, Samuel, and the prophets. Because of their faith, they took over kingdoms. They ruled fairly. They received the blessings God had promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They put out great fires. They escaped being killed by the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle. They beat back armies from other countries. Women received their dead back. The dead were raised to life again. Others were made to suffer greatly, but they refused to be set free. They did that so that after death, they would be raised to a better life. Some were laughed at. Some were whipped. Some others were held by chains. They were put in prison. Some were killed with stones. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats. They were poor. They were attacked. They were treated badly. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves. They lived in holes in the ground. All of those people were praised because they had faith. But none of them received what God had promised. God had planned something better for us, so they would only be made perfect together with us. And when I stumbled back upon this chapter, a video came to my mind, and I'm going to have you watch it this morning in just a moment. The youth in the room most likely have already seen this, and so you get to watch it again. But this video to me is a video of someone, I feel like it's relevant today, and I feel like there's a message that we need to hear from it, because this is an individual who is full of faith, and I'm just going to let you hear his story.
Hi, my name is Zach Smith, and I am 33 years old. I have been married to my beautiful wife, Mandy, for 11 years. We have 3 children, Lizzie, Jake, and Luke, and this is my story. I met Jesus when I was 5 years old. I grew up as the son of missionary parents in Ecuador, where I lived for 15 years. I went to college in Arizona, where I met my wife. For the next 10 years, we traveled around while I worked in the information technology field. We served in our local church, and I attended seminary. I often thought about working in full-time ministry, but no opportunity seemed right. I was told about a job here at New Spring Church helping with information technology. It was perfect, an IT job at an amazing church. I took the job and started working in October of 2008. For several months, life was very good and we were very happy. In May of 2009, at age 32, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Immediately, I had surgery to remove a foot and a half of my large intestine and a lemon-sized tumor. I was told the cancer had spread to my spleen and to my liver. Chemotherapy was on the horizon. This was all a very sudden shock to me. I had always been very healthy, and I found myself very confused. Why did I have cancer? Had I done something wrong to cause it? Was this a result of many years of sinful living in my past? I was working at a church and serving God. Where did I go wrong? But thankfully, the confusion quickly turned to hope. I knew that God had a plan for my life. I did not understand why I had cancer, but I knew that God was in charge. For 3 months, I underwent a horrible chemo regimen. Afterwards, I had a scan done, and the results were great. There was no cancer found in my body. We celebrated God's healing and God's faithfulness. And the next few weeks of my life were some of the best as I celebrated being cancer-free. But another scan 1 month later showed that the cancer had reappeared, this time in my abdominal cavity. I was devastated. Why was it back? Everything was just starting to make sense, but the reoccurrence of cancer caused even greater confusion. I resumed chemotherapy and did more tests. The cancer is now growing and getting worse. Unfortunately, the chemo drugs are no longer effective in my abdomen, and surgery is not an option due to the degraded state of my liver. Medically speaking, there is nothing more for me. And medically speaking, I probably will not live to 2011. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11 that God gives good things to those who ask. God cannot give me a bad gift. And it is through that lens that I can say that cancer is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I am a better husband and a better dad, a better boss and a better employee, a better friend and a better follower of Jesus. And through cancer, God has shown me some amazing things about Himself. Those are indeed great gifts. I still have questions about cancer, why it went away and why it came back. I do not understand, but I know that God is in charge. I am praying for God to heal me. That is my desire. I want to walk my daughter Lizzie down the aisle. I want to watch my sons, Jake and Luke, become men. I want to grow old with Mandy. And I want to live my life with my friends here at work. But I may not be able to work for very much longer. And I may have just celebrated my last Christmas with my family. This I do know. If God chooses to heal me, then God is God and God is good. If God chooses not to heal me and allows me to die, God is still God and God is still good. To God be the glory.
When I first stumbled upon that video, probably 2 or 3 years ago, that last line just hit me so strongly that if God chooses to heal me, then God is God and God is good. But if God chooses not to heal me and allows me to die, then God is still God and God is still good. To God be the glory. You see, because I think a lot of times when we look at something, even a situation like death, is it's really easy to say, well, they're gone from us now. And it's not fair, and God, why? But if we flip the situation around, like Pastor Matt said earlier, Philip McElhaney is in heaven right now, and what better healing could he possibly have? And I don't know where all of you are, because I know that there are situations in the last few weeks we've had individuals that in this church and relatives of people who attend this church that have passed away. I know that there's been people that have come down with some severe sickness. I know that there's people that have had situations and issues with jobs, that they don't know how things are going to play out, and they don't maybe even know where that next check is going to come from. And all these situations are scary situations. And I'm not trying to make light of any of these situations, but the realization is that when we read through that chapter of Hebrews 11, I feel like if we were to write a new Hebrews 11, that someone like Zach Smith, we would be able to put him in there, because despite facing cancer, is still living for, was living for God. And I have to let you know that within a year of that video being shot, he did pass away. But he is, the healing that he was looking for, he now has that same healing in heaven. So I want to go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, and I want to pull out a couple of things. The first verse that I want to reread is Hebrews 11, verse 7. Noah had faith, so he built an ark to save his family. He built it because of his great respect for God. God had warned him about things that could not yet be seen. Because of his faith, he showed the world that it was guilty. Because of his faith, he was considered right with God. So the first point I want to share with you this morning is this: God's timing is best. So have faith. Most of you would probably agree with this, that at some point in time in your life, something happened to you, and you said, God, why now? Why couldn't this have been a month from now, or a year from now, or why couldn't this have been a year ago when I had the money in the bank, or why couldn't this be at this point in time? I had that last February, that, and I've told a lot of you this before, but Annie and I were selling our condo, and it was February 14th, and that's just a reminder that Valentine's Day is coming up very soon. But so it's Valentine's Day. That's just a hint for the men in the room. But we're selling our condo. We had a deal almost in place. We're sitting in a wonderful movie of my wife's picking that I actually was thoroughly enjoying. Do you remember what it was? I remember the movie. Yes. But we're sitting in the movie, and then all of a sudden the realtor calls, and I slip out just because we think, well, maybe the deal has become official. And I find out that no, the deal not only did not become official, but the deal actually completely fell apart. And the buyers were no longer able to buy the condo. And we said, okay, there'll be someone else. And then 4 days pass and we have a fire. And I remember thinking in those moments of saying, God, why couldn't you have let the deal go through, let us like move everything out in one weekend, and then everything would have been great? Or why couldn't this fire happen a month into the future, or 2 months in the future, or a year? Why now? We're trying to get out of this place so that we can buy a house. And I just remember just saying, like, God, I don't understand your timing. Why would you do this? I can say now, almost a year later, the fact of, while I would never willingly choose to walk the last year and everything that entailed with the insurance company and having to buy buying a house and dealing with a mortgage company who, because I have a lot of random money coming in and random checks, were investigating me for being a drug dealer, that it's true. they questioned every single transaction because I was having checks from the insurance company they weren't accounted for. And just all this timing just, to me, didn't seem to make sense. But I look back now a year later and say that I'm so thankful for having gone through that, because now my relationship with my wife is stronger than it ever had been, and probably stronger than it could have been had we not went through that. So while it's not something I would choose to willingly walk through again, I say, God, because I went through that, I'm stronger for that. And you knew that, God. In those moments where I was near tears saying, I don't understand why, you knew where I would be a year later, and that the person I would become because I went through that tragedy. That if you remember a message that I preached probably about a year, year and a half ago, I actually preached an entire message on Noah, because something always jumped out of the text that always interested me is that you have Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three sons' wives that get to go on the boat. So you're telling me that there's no one else righteous. I mean, you have this whole family line from Adam all the way down to Noah. From Adam to Noah, like, none of those other people, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, they all lived a long time. So are you telling me that none of them were still alive, or they didn't deserve to go on the boat as well? And I did a genealogy, and I'll just, for the sake of time today, I'll start with his great-grandfather, Enoch. Enoch, if you read through Genesis, is identified as the first prophet in the Bible, that he has a son named Methuselah, who when I was in kids' church, I always thought Methuselah is probably the silliest name I've ever heard. It's just a mouthful. And when I was a kid, too, I had issues with saying the letter S. So trying to say Methuselah was not fun. But so you have Methuselah, and then he has Lamech, and then Lamech has Noah. So Enoch, as we shared in Hebrews 11, was taken up. So he didn't die, but he went up to heaven. Then as you read through and you actually do all the times of when Methuselah died and when Lamech died, Lamech actually died before Methuselah. He died before his father. Methuselah dies, and then you have the flood that happens pretty much right away. And so I wonder what this name Methuselah actually means. And in the Hebrew, Methuselah means his death shall bring. You see, God already had his timing. Where we think of God as a God of wrath in the Old Testament, God basically gave the world a warning of 1,000 years almost of you need to repent or I'm going to bring my judgment. And so we can look at it and say, Methuselah's death, the death of a loved one. But really, it was judgment, but then hope for a new future where God is going to restart everything and make everything new. And while we don't understand God's timing, and while things in this world may happen, family members may get sick, family members may die, jobs may be lost, cars may get in accidents, we don't understand the timing of why things happen, but we need to have faith because God's timing is always best for our life. Then we move ahead to Hebrews 11, verse 31. Rahab the prostitute had faith, so she welcomed the spies. That's why she wasn't killed with those who didn't obey God. The next point I want to make is that obedience to God's plan is best. So have faith. I would say most of us in this room before, God has asked us to do something, or God has asked us to stop doing something, and even if we obeyed, we kind of sat back with that spirit of disobedience and saying, God, I will do this, but only because I have to. Okay, maybe I'm the only one then. So how many of you, that's been you before, that like, God, I'll obey, but only because I want to do it this particular way. And at the end of the day, obedience to God is best because God's plan is best. And when we look at this situation with Rahab, she became aware of what God was doing for his people in the desert. So why was she willing to help out the spies when it could have meant imprisonment, it could have meant death for her? Because not a whole lot of people are going to care about Rahab the prostitute. Why was she willing to do it? Because she had heard the things that God was doing in the desert, and she wanted to be on board with that God. She wanted to obey that God. And you contrast that with the Israelites who are out there seeing these things with their very eyes and still questioning God and still asking for more and still saying, God, you need to do this for me. You need to do this for me. Rahab took a chance because she wanted to obey God. So if you're in here this morning and maybe this is you, maybe there's something that you know in your heart that God has been trying to speak to you over and over again that you need to give up, you need to walk away from, you need to let die. Have faith that God has a better plan for you, that God has more in store for you than your sinful past. But maybe there's someone in here that you feel that God is calling you to something, is beginning to kind of prime the well of saying that I have more for you. I have greater plans. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's to go to the other side of the world and be a missionary. I don't know what it is. Only you and God know what that plan is. If God is calling you to something and it is scary, maybe it's the matter of simply going to a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, and sharing the gospel, and you're intimidated because of what they may say or what they may think. If God is calling you to it, God will see you through it. You need to have faith that if God told Moses to hold up a staff and that a river was going to split, I think he can see you through going and talking with your coworker, with your family member, with your friend, making a job transition so that you can do more for God. Have faith that God will show up and move in your life. and just obey what God has called you to do. The last one I want to share then is Hebrews 11, verses 37 through 40. Some were killed with stones. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats. They were poor. They were attacked. They were treated badly. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves. They lived in holes in the ground. All of those people were praised because they had faith, but none of them received what God had promised. God had planned something better for us, so they would only be made perfect together with us. The last point I want to draw your attention to today is following God's plan is not always easy, so have faith. I want to share something that I'm presently doing in my own personal life, is that on April 12th, I am planning and training to run a marathon right now. And with that, that means I have to do preparation and I have to run more and more miles every week. And I hate running on a treadmill. The problem is, it's pretty cold outside right now. And so I kind of have this dilemma of, do I go and run? Because yesterday, for example, my run was 8 miles. Do I go and run 8 miles on a treadmill and be bored out of my mind? Or do I go run outside where it's currently 22 degrees? I decided to go run outside where it's 22 degrees. On Thursday, I did the same thing. It was a 4 mile run. It was outside, but it was 17 degrees. And it was snowing, and the wind was whipping the snow into my face. I also may have happened to lock myself out of my house while I was doing this run. And so all these things are adding up, and I'm like, I just want this run to be done. Like, I don't want to continue. And the way I do it is I have a 2 mile loop and a 3 mile loop through my neighborhood. And so at the end of the first loop, I end right back at my house, and then I start the next one. And I'm thinking, you know, I could just stop right now, because the average person would think I'm crazy enough for having even run 2 miles. Do I really need to do the 4 miles today? But then the thought came into my mind that running a marathon isn't easy. And you get to that spot by facing all the small little battles. You see, this marathon's gonna be in April, and you know Michigan, and you know April, and there's probably just as good of a chance that it's gonna snow in April, or it's gonna rain, or it's gonna be 20 degrees. You never know, it's Michigan. I could start off in snow and end in sunshine for all I know. But I realize that if I can't do the 4 mile run when it's snowing, what happens if it gets to be the 26.2 mile run and it's snowing? How am I gonna finish a long run if I can't do the short run? And the same thing goes for each and every one of us when it comes to our faith. When we get faced with battles, it's not always gonna be easy. It's not like God is giving us this nice little like prescribed plan of this is what's gonna happen, this is the date it's gonna happen, and this is what you need to do. We get faced with a challenge. Your challenge may be something you've done before, just on a greater level, or it could be something completely new to you. But as you go through the process, you're going to learn that you have to trust God and you have to turn to Him. You see, we have this kind of idea in our mind that the Bible says that God won't give us anything more than we can handle. That's not in the Bible. And if you think it is, I'm sorry, but it's not. Because if God didn't give us anything more than we could handle, then we have no need to rely on God's strength. God gives us things that challenge us so that we will turn to Him and say, God, help me out. There's a reason that when I run, I like to have music, and I'm listening to the Christian music to encourage me, because the moments when I have sweat icicles coming off my eyebrows, it happened yesterday. But in those moments when that's going on, I can say, this is why I'm doing it. This is what I need to do. I know that God is my strength. I know that He is my encouragement. I know that I can turn to Him when things are difficult and when things are not easy. So if you're going through something, through a challenging season, just know that we can turn to God and we find our faith in God. You don't find your faith in yourself. You don't find it in a family member or a friend. Your faith is in God, and your faith is in God alone. So this morning, as I conclude, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning that may be a step of faith for you. if Pastor Matt, if you'll come. That as Pastor Matt just kind of leads us in worship, if some of you are in here today and I don't know what your situation is and whether it's someone needs healing, that finances are falling apart, that family relationships are falling apart, that you need boldness to take a step that God has called you to do. And this morning you would say that simply, I need faith. I need God to increase my faith. I need to know that God will see me through the situation, no matter how difficult it is. I'm gonna ask you to do something, and it's simply, I want you to stand up, and I want you to raise your hand. Because I'm gonna ask you in a moment to identify yourself as someone who would say, I need prayer. Just as Pastor Brooks and Tammy in their letter shared the fact of the church body showing support and encouragement and prayer for them has helped them, I know that there's some of you in here today that you need that same encouragement, support, and prayer. So if you need that, I'm gonna have you stand up, and then I'm gonna have the rest of the body come around you and pray for you. You don't need to share what's going on. You can if you'd like, but I would ask you to say and make a stand and say, I need faith. So if that's you right now, I just ask you to stand exactly where you are and raise your hand. And for those people that are standing right now, I want everyone else that's sitting, I want you to go and find one of them. And I don't care if we have 30 people around each people, but I want everyone to have someone praying with them. And we're just gonna lift them up in prayer, because if they need faith, we know the one that can provide that faith and provide that hope. Heavenly Father, I just lift up all these needs that are in this room right now. Lord, for the individuals who need healing from sickness, or maybe need healing just from pain that has been going on in their personal life, Lord, to situations of where the next paycheck's gonna come from, to restoring friendships and restoring family relationships. Lord, we know that your word says that with you all things are possible, that you're working all things to the good for those who believe in you. So Lord, we simply ask that you would just show up in our lives this week. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, as we look at chapter 11 of Hebrews and we see all these individuals who had faith and knowing that it's impossible to please you without faith, Lord, I pray you increase everyone's faith in this room. Lord, that nothing would hold us back and nothing would distract us. Lord, that when people see us going through difficult times, they see us going through them joyfully, so that we would be able to share that we're able to go through our trials and our tribulations with a smile, because we know that God has great things in store for us. That we are passing through this world because we are not of it, that we are just in it for this time, and that we are living for heaven, and we're living to take as many people there with us as possible. Lord, let our faith be contagious to those that we come in contact with, so that those that feel like they have no hope can discover hope. So that our lives are overflowing with faith, that we can believe that the people that are sick around us, that we can pray for them and they can be healed, that the lame should walk, that when we pray for people that we could see the dead come back to life. Lord, these things are possible. It occurs in the Bible, and what happens in the Bible is meant for today as well. So Lord, I just pray right now as we go to leave, equip us with so much faith this week and every week after that for that matter, so that we can do great and awesome things for you, so that Northville and Livonia and Westland and Wayne and Canton and South Lyon and every other community around us can be reached. I pray for our missionaries that are around the world right now, Lord, that you would just encourage them and increase their faith. That way, all those countries that they are in and that they're living in, Lord, that they could be reached for you as well. Lord, we give you this day and we give you this week. Do with us what you will, Father God, and that we will obey you and we will trust you. We will believe that your timing is best. And when things get difficult, Lord, we know that we can turn to you. We give you this morning and we give you our lives. Amen. So today, as you leave, leave encouraged and leave full of faith. Please remember that if you, the McElhaneys, but anyone else that you know that is hurting or is struggling, please remember them and keep lifting them up in your prayers. We'll see you next week.